introduced to Israel in Genesis chapter 32. Would you turn over there for a moment? Genesis 32. Here is an Israelite, indeed, a true Israelite, the first one called Israel. Now, the setting is when the Lord wrestles with Jacob. Most of you are familiar with the story. He initiated this, and he had a purpose in initiating this wrestling match. He's going to win, and he's going to get something out of Jacob through this. Now, let's begin reading in chapter 32, beginning in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone after he'd done all the scheming and planning as to how he was going to preserve his family and his children. He was scared to death that Esau was going to put him to death. And let me say this about Jacob. Jacob was a deceitful man. And there's no question about that. He swindled his brother out of the birthright. He swindled his brother out of the blessing of their firstborn, and he did so with lies and deceit. He was a deceitful man. He deceived Laban, to get all of his cattle. Laban was left with nothing after he started all of his tricks, and I'm sure that he justified himself in doing it. He thought about how Laban had ripped him off. Remember how he gave him the wrong wife that one night, Leah, and then he probably thought, well, I'm justified in doing this. You know, we're really good at justifying our sin, aren't we? I'm an expert at it. I can always have a reason as to why I did something. Well, I'm sure Jacob was like that, but now he's left alone. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him into the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he, the Lord, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I have to have your blessing. I can't be left to myself. I have to have your blessing. Blessing. Verse 27, and he said unto him, what's thy name? Lord knew who his name was, didn't he? He's going to have Jacob confess his name. You know what his name means? Supplanter. Heel. Cheat. You remember how his brother Esau said, Jacob is his name, and that is appropriate. He supplanted me and ripped me off these two times. And the Lord is going to have him confess who he is. Jacob, cheat, deceiver, supplanter, pretender. And that's exactly what he was. And he said, thy name, this is the Lord speaking, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. There's where we're introduced to Israel. And this is the name by which Israel is called. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Now here's something that every Israelite has in common. They have power with God. Now that's a remarkable thing to think about, and the only way I can understand that is as they are in Christ. Does Christ have power with God? Does Christ influence God? So does every Israelite indeed. And this is what he says to Jacob. You're not going to be called Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? That's kind of like last week when Manoah asked for the name of the angel. He said, why are you asking me? See, it's secret. It's incomprehensible. It's above anything you can understand. And he blessed him there. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now that's the introduction to Israel. So an Israelite, indeed, is one who has power with God. Now generally when we think of Israel, when the average man thinks of Israel, he thinks of that piece of real estate in the Middle East. The Middle East, the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Jacob. It's what Paul called in 1 Corinthians 10:18, Israel after the flesh. And he spoke of my kinsmen according to the flesh. But when Christ speaks to Nathanael and says, behold, an Israelite indeed, a true Israelite, he's not talking about an Israelite after the flesh. He's not talking about a national Jew. Turn with me for a moment to Romans 9. Romans 9. Verse 6. It's not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Not everyone who is a national Jew is a spiritual Jew, is a Israelite indeed. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh, national Israel, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elders shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now the Israelite indeed is the elect of God, the children of the promise, those God gave to Christ before time began. That's who the Israelite indeed is. I've already quoted this passage of Scripture, but do you remember when the Lord said to that Syrophoenician woman, I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've only come to save the true Israelite. The Israelite indeed. Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 2. Back a few pages. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. How many different ways are there to take that? Anybody that claims to be a Jew because of his nationality, he's not a Jew. I mean, there's no mistaking that language. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Somebody says, I've been circumcised in the flesh. That's not circumcision. Doesn't have anything to do with it. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, spirit and letter. We read those two statements. He's not a Jew, which is one just in the letter, but in the spirit. Now, you think of the Scriptures, the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. The letter of the law, and this is what it says, if I keep these commandments, I will be saved. That's the letter of the law. This do, and thou shalt live. But what's the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is, I can't keep any of these commandments, and my only hope is what Christ does for me. That's the spirit of the law. That's the man with the circumcised heart. He's not just merely in the letter of the law, this is what I need to do. The spirit of the law that lets me know I'm nothing but guilty before God and my utter need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's most clearly stated by Peter in Acts chapter 15. If you turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 15. Verse 10, now therefore why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Us Jews, we're going to be saved the way the Gentiles are. Not those Gentiles are going to be saved the way we are, but we'll be saved the way they are. By the grace of God only. Now that person, look what it says back in verse 29, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That individual has the praise of God. You see, this is his work. And he has the praise of God. This is the person born of the Spirit and has had a new heart given unto them. Turn with me to Philippians 3. Now we're dealing with what an Israelite indeed is. It's not a national Israel. It's not what we would call a Jew who lives in Israel and can trace his lineage back to Abraham. That's not a Jew. Look in Philippians chapter 3. And remember, Paul is writing to Gentiles at this time. This is a Gentile church at Philippi. He's not writing to Jews, he's writing to Gentiles. Now look what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, 4. We are the circumcision. We're the true Jews. And he gives three marks of the true Jew, that one who is an Israelite indeed. First, he says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Now, the language is so important. I've said this before, but I would never say, with regard to this church, inviting somebody to come, I'd never say, come and worship with us. That's always a big appeal of a church. Come worship with us. You know why I would never say that? Because the natural man cannot worship God. It's beyond his ability. He has to be given a spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the new birth. There is no worship of God without the new birth, the new nature, the new man. You see, Adam died. He didn't die physically. He didn't die eternally at that time, but he died spiritually. And the natural man is born into this world with a body and with a soul, but the spirit is dead. But when God gives life, there is spiritual life, and that spiritual life can worship God. They that worship God, our Lord said, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The only one who can worship God is that one who's born of God and has this spiritual nature. Peter called it partakers of the divine nature. There's no worship of God without this spiritual nature birthed by God the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the evidence of being born of the Spirit? How can you tell if you've been born of the Spirit? Well, look what he says next in verse 3. We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice. Now that word rejoice is glory. Glory. Same word. We glory. We boast. We have confidence in Christ Jesus only. What's that look like? Well, hold your finger there and turn back a few pages to Galatians chapter 6. He says in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God, the true Israel of God. Well, what is this rule they walk by? God forbid, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have confidence in anything but who he is and what he accomplished on Calvary's tree. That's glorying in the cross. I don't have confidence in my preaching, in my experience, in my Bible reading, in my doctrinal knowledge, in my progress. I have confidence only in the cross of Christ. And someone that has confidence only in the cross of Christ, look back to our text in Philippians 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Well, what about that person who rejoices in Christ Jesus? Here's the hallmark of it. They have no confidence in the flesh. None at all. I don't have any confidence in my flesh. I don't have any confidence in your flesh. All we have confidence in is Christ Jesus the Lord. We don't have any confidence in anything that has our fingerprints on it. Now back to John chapter 1. You know, when preachers talk about when Christ returns and there's going to be a temple and people worshiping at that temple and sacrifices are going to be restored, that's the biggest bunch of foolishness there ever was. I mean, there's no truth to it. It's ridiculous. It's so fleshly. John 1. Verse 46 and verse 47, Jesus saith, and Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, a true Jew. And look what he says next. In whom is no guile. Really? Really. In whom? In that Jew. That true Jew, that Israelite indeed, there is no guile. There's no deceit. I heard somebody once say, a true Christian is not a hypocrite. Really? Who was the Lord talking to when he said, thou hypocrite, first cast the stone out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to cast the splinter out of thy brother's eye. If you know anything about yourself, you know this first. I'm a hypocrite. You know, any time we judge somebody, listen real carefully to this statement. Anytime we judge somebody, we are practicing hypocrisy. Romans 2:1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. I don't care what you're judging them for thou that judgest, doest. Right now, present tense, the same things. Whatever it is you're judging somebody for, you practice that. Somebody says, I do not. Well, God says you do. Thou that judgest, doest. Present tense. The same things. Now, the spirit that the Israelite possesses that has no guile is the new nature. That's what that's referring to. This really is a guileless nature. Why? This new nature can't sin. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. 1 John 3:9. He cannot sin. Can God the Holy Spirit give birth to something that can sin? Why, that's offensive to even think about. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. He has no guile. That new nature has no guile. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When we're born again, we're given a new nature. And in that spirit, there's no guile. Now, what's that a quotation from? Turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now here he talks about transgression, iniquity, and sin. Now I need the Lord to do something about that for me. I need him to cover my sin, to forgive my iniquity, to not impute my transgressions to me. Now that's what the Lord does for his people. But we don't stop there. I know that Paul quoted this in Romans chapter 4, but he didn't quote this part, but this part, and for good reasons, no doubt, the Holy Spirit saw fit to have him not quote it, but here we have it in Psalm 32. What's it say? And in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. This is what the Savior called when he was giving the parable of the sower. When he talked about the good ground here, he called it, they received the word in an honest and good heart. The heart given in the new birth. Isaiah 63, verse 8, we read that they are children who will not lie. And Revelation 14, 5 says that in their mouth was found no guile, no deceit. Now, the only time that me or you practice honesty before God is when we confess before Him that all we are is sin. Now, that's the only honest thing to say. If you make any claim any higher than that, you are being deceitful. You are being dishonest. You've lost all credibility the moment something like that comes out of your mouth. Remember what John said? If we say we have no sin, what's he say next? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And their sin is a noun. He's talking about a sinful nature. At all times, I have a sinful nature. And that means everything that I do is sin because I did it. Don't care what it is. And then he said in verse 10 of the same chapter, if we say we've not sinned, there, it's a verb. I didn't sin in that instance. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You've never done anything but that, and neither have I. But if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. He says we have, and we deny what he says. And the truth is not in us. Now that spirit without guile is honest before God. All I am right now is sin before God. You know, I've heard a lot of preachers talk about what they call progressive sanctification. Now, if by progressive sanctification they mean growth in grace, I believe that. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe in that. I believe in growth in the fruit of the Spirit. Growth in the Beatitudes. Yes, we love growth in grace. We want to grow in grace. We ask the Lord to cause us to grow in grace. But if somebody means by progressive sanctification, you, by the grace of God, become progressively more holy and less sinful, that's nothing but deceit. Nothing else. Deceit. I think of what Paul said, oh, wretched man that not I was before God saved me, I am. Present tense. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I used to be chief, but now, since God's grace has been upon me, I'm so much, but no. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And that person in whose spirit there is no guile is not deceitful with the word of God. He bows before what it says, and he receives what it says concerning him, concerning how God saves sinners. He doesn't try to make it say something that it doesn't say. He bows to what God says and rejoices in what God says. Let me give you one example. Colossians 3:11. Christ is all. He's all my comfort. He's all my peace. He's all my assurance. He's all I have. And the only way he's all to you is if he's all you have. If you have anything else, he's not all to you. Oh, how we rejoice in Christ is all. The Israelite in whose spirit is no guile is honest with what God says about himself and with what God says regarding salvation. Back to our text in John 1. Nathanael's taken back by all this. He says in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? I've never met you. I've never seen you in my life. I've never heard of you. Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree. Nathanael was sitting down with his back against the trunk of that fig tree, nobody around. What was he doing? I don't know. He didn't see anybody, but somebody saw him. You see, Christ is letting him know at this time, I'm God. I am omniscient. I know everything. I'm omnipresent. I see you even if I'm not there physically to see you. There you are. I see you. I know you. You're one of mine. He knew who Nathanael was. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, this is what every Israelite indeed sees. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. Not we ought to vote him into office. Not we ought to let him be king. He is the King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every Israelite indeed knows that. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the uncreated, eternal, sovereign of the universe. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in your body. How did he know he was the Son of God? When he reveals himself to you, you know. Not until then. But when he reveals himself to you, you know. He's the King of Israel. Some 3 years later, when they crucify him, what is written over his head? What is the accusation? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. You see, Israelites, indeed, they know that. You know that, if you're an Israelite, indeed. Now, you may wonder, well, am I an Israelite, indeed? Well, if you know that he's the Son of God, the King of Israel, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Verse 50. But Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, you know what this is a reference to. You remember when Jacob had that dream and he saw a ladder set up to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending. Christ Jesus is that ladder. The only way me or you are going to ascend into heaven is Him. No man comes to the Father but by me. And every blessing of God that you have descends down upon you through Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We ascend to the Father through the ladder, Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what, He's not a ladder that doesn't make it all the way there. He goes all the way to the top. And He's not a ladder that you can't get to that doesn't go all the way to the bottom. He brings the sinner to the Father, and He brings every blessing of God to the sinner. The great ladder, Christ Jesus. And every Israelite indeed, in whose spirit there is no guile, knows this is so. Who is the Israelite indeed? The elect. I can answer that so simply. The elect. Those Christ died for. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those who have been given a new heart. Those who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In whose spirit there is no guile. Behold, an Israelite indeed. I want to be one of those people, don't you? Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Thy Son's name, the ladder that brings us to You and that causes Your blessings to come to us. We ask that we might be, by grace, Israelites indeed, in whom is no guile. Lord, make that so for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Rich, come lead us in a closing hymn.